Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. ESPN 102.5, the game. Like I said, ending last hour, this should get Chase very excited because we're going to be talking about his Bravos. Let's bring in Brian Jordan, Braves analyst, to talk about the Atlanta Braves and things that have been going on early on in this season. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks for joining us today. So just, you know, a week, in fact, today is exactly a week in the books since Major League Baseball got their 60-game season going. How would you describe what you've seen to this point?
Well, I would describe it as a slow start for the Braves, especially with that starting rotation, trying to figure that out with the absence of Cole and Hernandez opting out, really changed the whole scene of the starting rotation coming into the season. You know, Fulton Nevich, I guess the patience ran out of Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves. And, you know, the hitting, getting off to a real slow start. You got 72 strikeouts over six games. That's entirely too many strikeouts. But you kind of understand the pitching always has an advantage going into the season. But, you know, guys don't have the time of 162 games to get it going. So it's been stressful so far with the Braves. But last night was a big win for them against Tampa. Tampa's a pretty good team, great pitching rotation. So hopefully they can split the series tonight.
Yeah, you literally took the words out of my mouth, Brian. We all know that, and you know this better than us, that the pitchers get the advantage early on in a long regular season, and then things come around. The catchers or the hitters catch up, and you know everything balances out. But you know, 19 strikeouts in a game, 15 strikeouts in a game, 12 strikeouts in a game. It's like, holy cow. Like it's
At some point you would think, and, you know, Kevin Seitz is great, one of the best hitting coaches out there. You know those guys are starting they will start to shorten up their swing and put the ball in play. You put the ball in play, you see what happens. Tampa made some errors and, you know, kind of broke the game open for the Braves. So they got to figure out a way to put that ball in play.
How do you think you would have handled this? Yeah, obviously you didn't have to go through anything like this as a player. I'm sure you've thought about it and talked about it. How do you think you would have handled this year as a player?
Well, I'm on record, you know, because you think about 9/11 when the country was shut down and the Braves, we were the first team back in New York. I mean, there was a lot of hesitation. Of wanting to go back and after the tragic incidents that happened. But for me as a player, I felt like, you know, we needed sports back and we needed baseball back in New York. So it was a sacrifice that, you know, I was willing to make. And I look at this year, you know, same situation, a lot different, but, you know, there's a sacrifice that athletes have to make for the fans because, you know, what's going on around the country. I mean, we need sports back. And, you know, so it's good to see the guys in Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL trying to figure out how to take safety precautions and get guys back out there. But I would have been willing to take the sacrifice and play through this.
What do you make of just what's been going on? I know you've got your job to do with the Braves, but I'm sure you've been taking a peek at the Dodgers-Astros series. No love lost between those two teams and what Joe Kelly did and all that. What do you make of all that? Since you played the game, you understand how that dynamic works.
Well, I'm not surprised. I know a lot of teams, especially the Dodgers, who lost two World Series to both the Red Sox and the Astros in an unfair manner now that everything has come out. I know they're angry, and, you know, it does not surprise me as players with competitors, and, you know, you want to get some type of revenge, and I felt like those eight games is entirely too much for Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
Especially since he didn't hit him, but I'm quite sure they'll probably lessen that punishment, but I'm not surprised at all. You know, in spring training, it was already happening to the Astros. You know, they were getting thrown at. There's no place in baseball for cheating, and you know, for the commissioner to make the decision that he made of not taking away the championship, world championship from them, then, you know, you got to live with the consequences. And, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that work really hard and, you know, did it the right way. And unfortunately, the Dodgers did not win. So I know the fans and everybody else in L.A. are probably celebrating that they're throwing at these guys.
We're talking to Brian Jordan. He's an analyst for Fox Sports South and the Atlanta Braves, and, of course, played many years in the majors for the Braves, the Cardinals. You not just looking at the Braves, Brian, but just teams overall, hitters overall, of just the routine that you go through, going through spring training, and some guys, you know, they start a little slower than others. You know, I just said jokingly of you don't have April anymore in a 60-game season. You can't work through the first month of the season. So how would you, if you were in this situation, how would you go about trying to change your routine to maybe get your swing going sooner rather than later because you don't have a lot of time to do it?
Well, I mean, it is definitely a different season. And to stop the spring training and guys just, you know, sitting for so many days and trying to start back up in a 60-game season, I know it's difficult. I had to go through it in 95 on the strike season. Totally different, though, because we still had a long season ahead of us. You really had to grind it out and be prepared, and that's something that, you know, you look at Fulton Nevich not having his velocity and not really performing at the level that the Braves expected. You know, I think that's from lack of preparation. I think he has the talent, but, you know, a lot of guys probably didn't think through this COVID that it was going to come back. And probably didn't prepare. And, you know, hitters are going to be behind. It's no question about it. I don't care how much you try to stay in the cages through this tough time. You know, seeing 96, 97 mile an hour, you know, from a pitcher is totally different from hitting off a pitching machine. So I expected hitters to start out slow. You look around the league, it's happening. It's a lot of strikeouts around the league. And I think it's going to take this first week to get guys back locked in and focused, and, you know, it's going to take them shortening up their swing and trying to figure it out, you know, and cutting back on those big swings.
We got to know Dansby Swanson a lot during his time here in Nashville when he played at Vanderbilt, and to watch him now from afar, or, you know, and I'm a Braves fan, so to watch him and see how his game has evolved, what have you seen out of him over the last really couple years where he's come into his own. He maybe has shed the whole, yeah, he's the number one overall pick, he's just got to go out and play. But what have you seen?
Well, he's been injured, and a healthy Dansby Swanson is an all-star Dansby. He's fun to watch. This guy has a lot of talent. He's great defensively in the infield, and his hitting is coming around greatly. It's just he needs to stay healthy. The last couple of years, he's been hot and start out great, and then he has an injury that cuts his season short and, you know, hurts his season. He's a guy that I feel like if he can stay healthy, man, he can be an all-star year after year.
And then, and of course, the guy at the top of the lineup for the Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr., he's kind of had a slow start, but have you seen some of the maybe the maturity issues that he's had in years past, you know, working with Brian Snicker, the manager? Have you seen some of those improve, and do you have the confidence that even though he's had the slow start, he's going to be able to work through some of that?
Yeah, I definitely have the confidence he's going to work through it. Kevin Seitz is in his head, and, you know, you can slowly see him. He took a couple of walks yesterday. He's starting to, you know, try to be patient. He's starting to try to hit the ball the other way. So you can see the adjustments being made by Ronald Acuna. You know, he's an MVP type of player. It's very humbling, I know, to come into the season and, you know, be the odds favorite to win an MVP. A lot of pressure on a young kid like that. But, you know, he just wants to go out there and achieve greatness. And you can see him trying to make the adjustments day by day. And I expect him to probably be hot next week.
How big is it going to be to have Nick Markakis come back and make the decision that, you know, he's not going to opt out, he's going to be a part of this? It's going to take him a little bit of time to get back in shape and all of that. But just from a leadership standpoint, having him in the clubhouse, how big is that going to be?
Oh, it's going to be huge. The young guys need him back. This is a guy that's been consistent throughout his career, especially the last 3 years here with the Braves. I mean, he's been the most consistent player in the lineup as far as putting the ball in play, driving in runs, coming through in the clutch. And he understands the game, and his knowledge is important for these young kids, and especially watching these guys through the first six games with 72 strikeouts. I mean, he's a guy to be able to talk some humbleness and talk some, you know, guys into shortening up their swing and work on just putting the ball in play, find some holes, and that swing will come. And he's a perfect example of it. And like you said, you know, you can't buy that leadership.
You know, we enjoyed watching the different documentaries and old games and all of that during quarantine, but ESPN did the 30 for 30, the long gone summer. You were on that Cardinals team in 1998 playing with Mark McGwire. What was it like from your perspective to watch him go on that run and ultimately break the home run record?
You know, it was great to be a part of that. And, you know, for Mark McGwire, he's a great teammate. And we were all pulling for him. And, you know, for me, I had a job to do, myself and Ray Langford, and that was to protect him, hitting behind him. We had to perform. We had to come up big, or he would never see pitches to have that opportunity. And, you know, to be able to see it live, and the fact that it was Sammy Sosa with great personality, it brought baseball back, you know, because we went through that strike in 95, and fans weren't convinced in coming back to the stadium. And to see that home run chase race with Sammy Sosa, it brought baseball back on the map.
Did you say you hit after Mark that season?
Yeah, myself and Ray Langford, we were sharing duties at the number four spot.
You probably felt like a leadoff hitter sometimes. Probably weren't a lot of guys on bases a lot of times when you came up.
Exactly, but he cost me a lot of RBIs being in front of me too. So.
One last thing, Brian. You know, your setup there at SunTrust, now Truist Park. You know, we've been to Braves games. It's a fantastic park. That whole area is great. And your setup that you do, how strange is it that you guys, you know, you're so used to interacting with the fans and being there, you know, right in the middle of everything and just not have that. It's got to be bizarre, right?
Oh, it is bizarre. I was talking to Jerome Gerenovich, my host, good friend. I said, I'm going to start bringing some of those cardboard cutouts and putting them in the studio just so I can feel like I'm talking to the fans, because it's too much thinking going on in that studio.
Hey, thanks for doing this. Keep up the good work. Good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, that is Brian Jordan. Of course, former big leaguer, now part of the Braves telecast, and does a good job with them, and they are currently in a series with the Rays, and they'll be back at it tonight at 6:10 our time. It'll be the Braves and the Rays, and it'll be was it Fried going tonight for Atlanta?
Yep, Max Fried. Looking forward to that. I think he's got a lot of talent, talented young man. And again, you feel okay about their 1-2, but then it's behind them that I worry about with the Braves. So Soroka and Max Fried being the top two pitchers, and then just figuring it out from there. That's what they got to work on.
That 98 season for Brian Jordan, he actually had his best batting average in his career that season.
Yeah.
316. He had 25 homers, 91 RBI, stole 17 bases. Let's see, had 40 walks, which I think, no, second career high in walks, which is interesting, right, because he said he batted after Mark McGwire, him and Ray Lankford. Strikeouts, had 66 with over, let's see, 564 at-bats. Think about that. He had 66 strikeouts in 564 at-bats. What do you think 564 at-bats for a lot of hitters in today's game? How many strikeouts do you think that would equate to?
166? Or 166, yeah. I mean, it'd be a lot. I mean, it just shows you how different the eras are. I mean, the pitching's better. You know, the pitching has gotten – it has ebbs and flows of, you know, pitchers have an advantage, batters have an advantage, but – you know, when he came to the Braves the next year, you know, I mean, he was a big part of getting them back to the World Series and part of that lineup. And, I totally forgot he went to the Dodgers after he left Atlanta, and then eventually came back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But
he had two stints with the Braves.
Yep. So, and retired there, and now does a great job with them as a part of, their pre and their post with Fox Sports South.
Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock today. Weekly chat with him from Sportsnet. We'll come back. More on the other side on this Thursday afternoon. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.